Now, many, many Bible studies have been done over the centuries on the shepherd and his sheep. And we're going to come across things that aren't new to you. But I believe there'll be some other things that perhaps you haven't learned yet. I know I learned a few new things. But it's also good to refresh our minds and our hearts about Jesus, our shepherd, and we are the sheep. So it's good to be reminded of that. This is part one. Next week we'll do another part because there's a lot to say on this. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us Jesus to be a shepherd, because we don't know our own way. We are sheep, and we need the shepherd. We need a good shepherd, the one who gave his life for the sheep. And Lord, just remind us how much you love us and how we need to follow you to be good sheep. Sheep of your pasture, sheep of your hand, sheep that know your voice. Lord, help us now. Guide us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a few years ago, we studied Philip Keller's book, The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. Anyone ever read that book? Excellent book. Okay. If you haven't, throws a lot of light on the 23rd Psalm. Philip Keller was a shepherd for a number of years. And does an excellent job. Okay, John chapter 10. Just verses 1 through 13 tonight. And a whole slew of other verses that go along with it. But this is our text. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. Where we read of the good shepherd. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. The sheepfold is the pen where the sheep are kept. Usually at night. You see, that's when they come in at night. Out in the day, they're feeding, and there's not a whole lot of grass in the sheepfold. So they have to go out, in and out, and find pasture, as Jesus says. Right? So, but climbs up some other way, that person is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And we talked about the porter before. People wonder what the porter is. Some say it might be a hired shepherd, a hireling. Others say it could be the conscience of man or man's free will, okay? Man's desire. Okay, that if man does not desire, okay, then the shepherd won't come in. So he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, or truthfully, truthfully I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out of the sheepfold and find pasture. Not in and out of Christ, but in and out of the sheepfold and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it, that's the sheep, have it more abundantly. So there's abundant life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf catches them, and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's just a hireling. He's a hired hand, and cares not for the sheep. Now, of course, there are exceptions to the rules. Christ wasn't saying that if any man is a hired servant, he'll run from the wolf. I'm sure there are hired shepherds that won't run. Okay, but the rule generally is that the owner of the sheep will care more for the sheep than a hired hand. And we'll also see that there's an exception to the rule where sheep will follow a stranger. Okay? They will. Right? Doesn't contradict what Christ is saying here. And we'll see why in a few moments. First thing I do is show you a little clip. And just to set it up for you, this is filmed in Norway. Okay? And there are some sheep on the hillside. And it's a test. These are some tourists, I guess, that are asked to call the sheep. And as the tourists, there's three of them, followed them by what they call the farmer or the shepherd, notice the sheep, how they react to the tourists. What are the sheep doing? Nothing. The shepherd or the farmer. What are they doing? Pick up their ears and their heads right away. Notice they're also speaking now. They're bleeding. They're talking to the shepherd. Here they come. It's amazing what the tourist says. Isn't that something? That's beautiful. Okay? The sheep know their shepherd's voice. Okay? That is cool. Yes, it is, sir. That is cool. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. They paid no attention to the stranger, right? They paid no attention. Okay. Now, when the Bible talks about sheep, it's not talking about this sheep or anything like it. Because this sheep will grow up into a mountain sheep, a bighorn sheep. Okay? The Bible never speaks about mountain sheep because they're wild. Sheep are the number one mentioned animal in the Bible. Okay? We are likened to sheep. Okay? Domestic sheep, okay? Not wild sheep. On their left is a mountain goat. On the right is a mountain sheep, the bighorn. They look similar, but they're different. Okay, so the Lord does not compare us to mountain sheep or to mountain goats. Now, this is where domestic sheep came from. This is a sheep groomed in Persia, Mesopotamia, many thousands of years ago, called the Muflon sheep. And domestic sheep come from the Muflon. M-O-U-F-L-O-N. The Muflon. So about 5 or 6,000 years ago, they started catching these wild sheep and domesticating them for milk, for meat, and eventually for wool. There's not really wool on this, but as they domesticated the sheep, they became woolly. Okay? And they used them for skins. And so we have the domestic sheep coming out of wild sheep. Just like we were once wild. Okay? We were wild, we were uncontrolled. Okay? And God domesticates us. Okay? He tames us. He corrals us. Okay? So domestic sheep are the most mentioned animal in the Bible. Again, we are likened unto sheep. Sheep are not too smart. These are things we know. We know they're pretty weak. They're pretty helpless. They panic easily. They are very restless. Okay? And compared to a wild sheep, it's only domestic sheep that get lost. Wild sheep don't get lost. Why? Because they have no home. They don't care where they're going. Okay? But only domestic sheep get lost because they have a home. It's called the sheepfold. It's the farm where the shepherd is. Okay? Only domestic sheep need a shepherd. Wild sheep don't. And compared to wild sheep, domestic sheep are not as sure-footed. Okay? They are sure-footed to a certain degree, but they're not as sure-footed. They can't climb in certain places. Now here, we had an incident in England some years ago. You see the circle there. Some domestic sheep were walking along this ridge, and they fell. A mountain sheep would not fall. And you'll note, too, that a good shepherd will not lead his sheep in a place like that. Even though they're sure-footed, the shepherd knows they can fall. Fortunately, these sheep were rescued. There they are down there. There's an insert. There they are way in the bottom. And they sent down expert climbers to bring them back up. Okay? Sheep are not that sure-footed. Okay. Here's another incident that ended a little more tragically. Here again are some domestic sheep, not wild mountain sheep. Wild mountain sheep would have really no problem scaling some of those rocks. Those sheep in the circles were rescued. Some fell to their death. Okay? And again, a shepherd would never lead his flock there. So how do you think those sheep got there then? They're domestic sheep. That means they have a shepherd. How'd they get there? They wandered away. Right? They wandered off. Okay? David said, Psalm 23:3, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." In other words, the right path. So a shepherd would never leave his sheep in that path. Why? It is to their doom. It is to their death. Not that God will not lead us to places where we get hurt. Missionaries are sacrificed all the time. Right? God leads us into such places, but he will not lead us into places where Satan can rule over us. See? That's why we pray in Matthew 6:13, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." He will not lead us to a place where we're overcome by Satan, but will give us power to resist him. David said in Psalm 17:5, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." And again, David being a shepherd, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd," in Psalm 23:1. Here he's saying, "Lord, I'm one of your sheep, but I'm not wild anymore. When I'm wild, I can go anywhere I want, and no problem. I can outrun." I had a video, I didn't show it, of a mountain sheep outrunning a wolf. And the wolf was chasing him, and this mountain sheep went up the craggiest rocks. The wolf couldn't follow. But a domestic sheep couldn't do that. So that's why David, as a domesticated sheep, as one that was once wild and uncontrolled, now he says, "Lord, hold my goings in your path, in your way, that my footsteps do not slip." Because sheep do get lost. Okay? Sheep get lost. David again speaking, not this time as a shepherd, but as a sheep. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant." Now, this is important, and we'll look into more of this next week. "Seek thy servant." In other words, he's bleeding, he's crying out for his shepherd. "Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." And here he's saying, "I do not forget thy commandments or thy word. I'm listening for your voice." Okay? I'm listening for your voice. Sheep get lost. David said, "I am like a sheep gone astray." When sheep go astray, it's not always one at a time. Why do you think there are two sheep going astray here? And there can be three sheep, and four sheep, and five sheep. Why do you think? That's right. Sheep follow sheep. Sheep don't always follow the shepherd. Now, those sheep belonged to a flock, and they had a shepherd, but they decided to go their own way. Sheep follow sheep. Back in 2005, in Turkey, there was an incident that made headlines all over the world. There were 1,500 sheep grazing in a valley. The shepherds stepped back and they were having breakfast. One of the sheep panicked and ran off a 65-foot cliff. 1,500 sheep followed off the cliff. And the shepherds are saying, and now notice the shepherds are calling them, but they don't hear. Why? Because they're filled with panic. They're filled with fear. When we are filled with fear, we really can't hear the shepherd's voice. See? All we hear is the wolf. We don't know, no one knows what panic that one sheep, just one sheep, decided to run in that direction. And sheep have been known to run away from lions to go off a cliff. Okay? They have run away from wolves off a cliff. That's how unintelligent they are. Right? So even though the shepherds were there, they were calling their sheep, they did not respond. 450 of them died. You say, why only 450? Because the other sheep landed on top of sheep pillows. Okay? So the first 450 made a nice soft landing for all the other sheep. They survived. But sheep follow sheep. Okay? And that's why as sheep, we have to keep our eyes on the shepherd, okay, and not other sheep. Okay? Because earthly shepherds too are sheep. Okay? Earthly shepherds too are sheep. We just can't follow any sheep. It is going in that way, in that direction. David said in Psalm 78, 52, 53, but made his own people go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock, and he led them on safely, so that they feared not. They feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. So in other words, looking unto Jesus, trusting in the shepherd, keeping his rod and staff before us, as David said, they comfort me. Remember, David said, I will fear no evil. Where? In the valley of the shadow of death. And in the presence of his enemies, God would establish a table. So fear, one person begins to panic, another begins to panic. Okay, and it spreads. And sheep were won over to their death. So he made his people go forth like sheep, even through the wilderness like a flock. And the shepherd will lead his sheep through the wilderness to get to the green pastures. Okay? He led them on safely so that they feared not. We don't have to fear when Christ is our shepherd. Here's another little clip. And I'm going to just set this up for you. Now, you'll see the fog back there. The fog bank, the sheep are up there. You can't see them. Right? Let's see here. This is a rock. It's not a sheep. This is a rock, and this is a rock. They never move. Okay, see them? Where I'm pointing here, those are rocks. You don't see the sheep. Okay? The shepherd doesn't see the sheep, and they don't see him. But he begins to call to them. Gives a thumbs up. Why? They're bleeding. They hear him. Okay. They respond to his call. Still doesn't see them. Here they come. Notice how fast they're running, too. I didn't know she could run that fast. Wow. Took them a good minute to get out of the fog.
They are so adorable.
Aren't they?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, sir.
We're all going to want to get sheep soon. Now, he takes a little treat out of his bag. There's still some coming. There's some stragglers up there yet, I think. There's something else we're going to see from this. Now, let me just stop this right here for a second. You know, we don't always see the shepherd. See? In other words, what we can hear his voice. Right? The shepherd didn't see them, but he knew they were out there. He knew where they were. Right? He wasn't calling in that direction or behind them. He knew they were up there on the ridge. And the sheep heard his voice, and they responded to him. And they came running. And he patiently waited for them to come to him. And now he's going to reward them. But I want you to notice some of the sheep, what they do on the left side of the screen. Still some coming. Some special treat. Our shepherd always has special treats for us too, right? Now notice the sheep on the left. Where are they going? This is in a foreign language. The subtitles are missing from here. He's pointing to those sheep. And what he says in the subtitles is, they just don't get it. That's what he says. They just don't get it. They're wandering off. Look at them. Yeah. Now notice the sheep on the left, the white one there. Look, he starts to go. He goes. He goes. They just don't get it, he said. Now notice the other sheep on the left there. There's one that'll be coming in your screen soon, in your view. He comes around. Okay. When is it now? Where is it? See, he's a little puzzled. Where'd they go away? The sheep know the shepherd's voice. And the shepherd knows them by name, he says.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that nice? There was one sheep there, I guess I missed, but there was one sheep who was hesitating which way to go. Right? So why do you think those sheep, now they knew the voice of the shepherd, right? They recognized him, they ran to him, but then they took off in another direction. Why do you think they did that? Something distracted them. We'll answer that in a minute. Now remember that mist out there where the sheep were hidden. They couldn't see the shepherd couldn't see them, but they both knew of their existence. And that's faith. Faith on our part that the shepherd's there, that we know him. And as soon as you started calling, often the distance you heard the bleating. We don't always see God. We have to have faith. In fact, faith is the only way we can see God. Notice what Job says here in Job 23, 8 through 12. He says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Job now is talking like a sheep. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. I can't see him. Now, at this time, Job was enshrouded with what? What fog was in his life? The great heavy fog was in his life. What was it? Grief. Pain. Loss. Disrespect. People were disrespecting him. He lost his friends. He was being falsely accused. In other words, he was in a real fog. And that's why he says, I don't perceive God. In all my pain, where is he? I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But notice what faith is. Kicks in, says, he knoweth the way. He knows the way that I take. He knows where I am. When he hath tried me, tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. In other words, Job saying, I don't see him, but I'm listening for his voice. The commands of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth. Again, his voice. more than my necessary food. So when those sheep were out there in the fog, they were eating. You notice sheep are either lying down or they're eating. Okay? Now if they're standing up and chewing, what are they doing? They're chewing the cud. Okay? Sheep have a stomach with four sections in it. And if they're standing up chewing, they're chewing the cud. They regurgitate and they chew it, make it better for them. That's why they're allowed, they have split hooves, but they chew the cud, therefore they're clean animals for the Jews. Okay? So sheep, if they're laying down, they're not eating. If they're standing up, their head's down, or they're chewing the cud. And so those sheep that are being called were up there eating, but when they heard the shepherd's voice, they were saying with Job, the words of his mouth were more necessary than my food. I'm going to stop eating and go to my shepherd. Okay? So we have, you know, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We have our necessary food, our necessary things as sheep. The word of his mouth, his voice, should be more important. More important. But yet those few sheep, probably just one started and the other followed him off. They knew his voice. They came to him, but yet they left. And the shepherd had that kind of dumbfounded look. Okay? They just don't get it. What are they doing? Why? Because sheep have free will. Okay? Sheep can do what they want to do. The shepherd doesn't force them. So you said they were distracted. Well, there's an old saying, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, right? And really it's not, is it? It's not greener on the other side of the fence. But the sheep think so, and many a sheep has gotten their neck, their head stuck in a fence because they're grazing on the other side. I've seen it. We were up there at one of those animal parks. I forget where it was, in Massachusetts. And the sheep pen, most of the sheep were feeding in the pen, but some of them had to stick their heads out to get grass when it was right there. Okay, the grass is greener. So those sheep that ran away from the shepherd who called them out of the fog, they might say, hey, there's a nice pasture over there. Okay? It's better than the treat the shepherd's giving us. Okay? So we have to be careful. Sheep that do know the shepherd's voice can still go astray. Psalm chapter 78, verses 52 through 62. Just as there are good soldiers and bad soldiers, and good servants and bad servants, there are good sheep and there are bad sheep. Okay? In the flock. Philip Keller, remember, he talks about a ewe lamb in his flock that kept going astray. And it kept leading others astray. Do you remember what he did to that ewe lamb? He slit its throat. Yeah. Can you imagine doing that? He slit the ewe lamb's throat. Because it was, not because it was bad, but because it kept going astray and kept leading others astray. So there are bad sheep, and that was in the flock. Okay? Psalm 78, 52 through 62. But made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. We read this already a little bit. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies, talking about the Egyptians. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, divided them an inheritance by line, by tribe, and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted or tested and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies. Here we have disobedient sheep. But turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, a crooked bow. For they provoked him to anger with their high places, this is with their idols, and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men. And again, Shiloh means tranquility. That's a name for Messiah, the tranquil one, the tranquilizer. Okay? In other words, he took rest from them. He took that peace from them. because of their idolatry. And delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword and was wroth with his inheritance. So one of the reasons sheep go astray, even sheep that know the shepherd's voice, is that, well, they think they know better. They think there's something better out there for them. That, you know, they've had that same treat the shepherd's given them every time. It's the same thing again and again. Maybe the grass is greener somewhere else. Okay? And they're led away. There's bad sheep, but there are also bad shepherds. Okay? Here's another reason why sheep go astray. They follow the wrong shepherd. Jeremiah 50, verses 6 and 7. My people, notice, my people, these are not goats. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them hath devoured them. See what happens to some of God's sheep. See, we must not think, because we are one of God's lamb, one of his sheep, that nothing can happen to our soul. If we follow the wrong shepherd, if we are disobedient and keep going our own way, all that found them, the wolves, the bears, the jackals, the hyenas, the lions, the coyotes, people, they devoured the sheep of his pasture. Remember what Paul said. I don't have it up here in Scripture, but turn to the book of Acts, if you would. When Paul was warning the elders or the pastors at Ephesus. Let's see. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 27 and following. Paul says to the elders, the pastors of Ephesus, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." In other words, a shepherd, as Paul was a shepherd, you have to give your sheep the proper food. You just can't give them one thing. You can't give them just what they like either. You have to give them what is necessary. Sometimes that's medicine, right? Now he warns them, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Pastors, that's why you must pray for pastors everywhere. Bible teachers, take heed to yourself and then to the flock. Pastors have to first take heed to themselves and then they can take heed to the flock. "Over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God." Number one duty of a pastor is to feed. He oversees them and makes sure they get the full counsel of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Okay. Wolves will come in. Why? Because the shepherds allow them in. That's the only way they can get in. That's why Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheepfold. Nothing gets in unless it gets over me." Okay? But if the shepherd is not careful, if he's not watching the sheep, then wolves will get in. "Also of your own selves shall men arise," that means from the pastorate, from the clergy, "arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Okay? And he says, "I warn you night and day with tears," verse 31. Okay. This brought terrible grief to the Apostle Paul. So my people have been lost sheep. Why? Their shepherds have caused them to get lost. Okay. The shepherds were not faithful. And you know, that shepherd that we saw calling his sheep out of the fog, he was giving them a treat. If he was a bad shepherd and he gave them something poisonous, then we could see why those sheep would wander away. And it wouldn't be their fault, because we're not going to eat that. But yet they're wandering away. They have no shepherd. And Jesus had compassion upon the multitude because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And sheep without a shepherd, who cares, will be devoured. Okay. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 1 through 10. Again, we see here that God speaks directly to shepherds, pastors, and you know, parents have to shepherd their children. Erica, you and Anthony shepherd your children. Okay. Parents shepherd their children. Sunday school teachers shepherd their class. Okay. You might be shepherding someone, not officially as a pastor, but you're guiding them, you're leading them, you're feeding them. Okay. So we all have times of shepherding in our life, not just the pastor of a church. We all are what we call under-shepherds. Okay. They're under-shepherds. So all of this applies to us. That if we don't shepherd our children right, off they go. Okay. Give them junk food, they'll say, yeah, the grass is greener over there. Okay. And it might be. It might be. Okay, Ezekiel 34, 1 through 10. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and saying to them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Of course, shepherds have to eat, right? But should not the shepherds feed the flock? In other words, we're not going to feed the flock. We're going to feed ourselves, right? You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. Where's the wool come from? The sheep, okay? They're fleecing the flock, okay? We know about that, right? You kill them that are fed. You fatten them up, what, for the slaughter? So you could eat them, okay? But you feed not the flock. In other words, you fatten them up, but you don't feed them, okay? In other words, you're not feeding them for their health. You're feeding them for your health, okay? The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered. The sheep have a shepherd, but he had a heavy hand. He was cruel, didn't feed them right. So of course, they're going to look for other pastures. Because there is no shepherd, they became meat or food to all the beasts of the field where they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them, none of those fake shepherds. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became food to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves. Again, he emphasizes the shepherds keep feeding themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. I will require my flock at their hand, cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our good shepherd, okay? A good shepherd who feeds his flock, who watches over his flock, who carries them on his shoulders when he finds them. He is gentle with them, okay? He is not harsh, even though he spanks us and scolds us. Just as a shepherd, sometimes has to break the leg of a lamb, right? Remember the story of a tourist in Switzerland who came up, walking up in those beautiful mountains in the Alps there. She came across a shepherd with his sheep, and she saw one sheep over in a little lean-to type hut. And she went over to pet the little lamb. It was a female lamb. It was not a baby lamb. It was a full-grown sheep. And the sheep tried to bite her, which doesn't normally happen. And every time she tried to pet the lamb, it would snap at her. So she went to the shepherd and said, why is that lamb so ferocious toward me? He said, because I just broke its leg. Because it wandered off and kept wandering off. So I had to break its leg. It's true that shepherds have to break the legs of some lambs. Isn't that better than what Philip Keller did in slitting the throat of one lamb? Of course. Okay. But of course, if that lamb did not learn and kept leading astray, then that shepherd would have to dismiss that lamb from his flock somehow. Okay. And have mutton for dinner. Right. But the shepherd said, when that broken leg heals, what should happen is, if the lamb has learned its lesson, It will be the most obedient lamb in my flock, and he will walk right beside me, he said. It will be right there. And that's why God breaks our legs sometimes. Right? Yeah. David said, what did David say? The bones which you have broken, you have cause to rejoice.
Okay.
That's right. Okay. So he's a good shepherd, but that's not cruelty, see? If we saw that shepherd breaking, he might take a staff and smack that lamb in the leg so hard that it breaks, we'd say, oh, what a horrible man you are. We might intervene, try to stop him. No, we can't. Okay. You can't. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And also, Jesus is called the great shepherd. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, our great shepherd of the sheep. So he's not only the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd of the sheep. And then he's also called the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd, this is 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd, in other words, he is number one shepherd, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And what Jesus Christ, or what Peter was doing here concerning Jesus Christ, was comparing him as chief shepherd to the under shepherds. Okay? And pastors are under shepherds. But you know what? Under shepherds, a lot of shepherds have. It might not be a man. It's a dog. Those are called under shepherds. The sheepdog. And there may be dozens of variety of sheepdogs. Right? And here Job says this. But now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers, I mean, their fathers are so bad, I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. Job is talking about sheepdogs, the dogs of his flock. Okay. These young people had fathers who were so wicked that he wouldn't even put them by his sheepdogs. That's how bad they were. Okay. He refers to that. Philip Keller, again, I mentioned him. He also wrote a book called Lessons from a Sheepdog. Anyone read that? Okay. Lessons from a Sheepdog. And this is what he writes. So I was obliged to find a co-worker, an under-shepherd, in a sheepdog who would carry out my will in managing the flock. Working together in harmony, one good sheepdog and myself could accomplish as much as five men. One good sheepdog. So sheepdogs are called under-shepherds. Okay? Pastors are under-shepherds. What?
Yeah.
Pastors are under-shepherds. Okay? But again, if parents are shepherding their children, they're under-shepherds too. Right? If you're shepherding someone at work, trying to guide them through Scripture, you're under-shepherd as well. But pastors are sheepdogs. Okay? So think of, when you think of your pastors, think of us as sheepdogs. Okay? And it's not an insult, because what sheepdogs do, oh yeah, they herd the sheep, okay? They herd them, they gather them around, okay? They lead the sheep. They lead the sheep. They sometimes have to confront sheep face to face. You bad little lamb. That's a little sheepdog, but look how much courage it has facing that big lamb, huh? Okay. Sometimes shepherds, sometimes parents, you have to get your child aside and sternly talk to them face to face, eye to eye. Okay. Sheepdog. This sheepdog just killed a wolf.
Wow.
And that's a little dog. Doesn't look like much, does he?
Yeah, no,
he killed a wolf. They must protect the flock. Okay.
Wow.
Remember those that shepherd who had his sheep out there in the fog? How could he protect them where he was? He had to have sheepdogs out there. He probably did. Okay. We didn't see them. We'll see some others that had sheepdogs.
Right. Wow.
This sheepdog, who looks kind of wimpy, he killed a wolf.
Okay.
Yeah. And sheepdogs have to go find lost sheep. Bring them in. Okay, ones that stray away. So, those are the under-shepherds. And again, the Lord brings an indictment against some of his ancient pastors who were not acting like sheepdogs. And he actually says his watchmen are blind. The watchmen are the pastors, because sheepdogs watch over. When the sheep are grazing, they'll sit there and watch. They'll look on the hills. They don't fall asleep really much. Okay? They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark.
The sheepdogs don't bark?
Oh yeah, they do. Sheepdogs bark. They'll bark at the sheep, but they'll bark at the wolf when he comes. They'll bark at strangers. Okay? They protect the sheep from not just wolves and coyotes and bears, but also from strangers. His watchmen, his God's pastors, are blind. They are all ignorant. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Okay? So you want your pastors to bark. Okay? Remember that. Next time we bark and growl. Okay? They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs. Okay? Which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain. Gee, ever hear of any preachers like that? Here's the indictment against them. So you see that he compares the watchmen on top to the shepherds. They're the same thing. They are the sheepdogs. Okay? They are the under-shepherds. So all of us at times have that role of being an under-shepherd, of shepherding people. And James tells us, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, brethren, if any of you, that means any of your brothers and sisters in the flock, err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. See, when that sheep is back in the fold, the shepherd doesn't care what happened out there. Okay? He's just glad that the lamb is found and back. Remember when Jesus gave the parable, he said, if which of you having 100 sheep and you lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go out until he finds it, and then what? He puts it on his shoulders, rejoicing more over the one that repents, that is found, than the 99 that need no repentance. Okay? So, the shepherd rejoices over that. So he's not going to say, well, what do you do out there? Okay, you're out there, you're back. That's all that matters, okay? If you need discipline, if you need healing, if you need correction, that's all going to be done, but what's done is done, okay? So here, again, this now is a teaching for the whole church. Brethren, if any of your brothers or sisters, any of your fellow sheep, stray from the fold. Notice he says there, you save them from death. Why? Because the wolf's out there. Okay. They have to be in the fold. They must be with the shepherd. They cannot be out on their own, or they will be lost. They will be food. And so you're saving a soul from death. And we're going to look at one more clip. It's about 3 minutes long. And you'll see at the top of the hill there are sheep way up there. Mike, you've scoped the rifle, but I don't know about that far. That's what, 300-400 yards atop the hill?
Can't tell from the picture, mate. It's probably.
It's far away. It's a few hundred yards. Okay. And the shepherd's calling them. But you'll notice the shepherd's not screaming. He's not screaming, which you would think you'd have to do to call all those sheep down. Right away they start bleeding. There's probably 1,000 sheep in this flock. It's a huge flock. Some birds there too making noise. Now see, he's taking them from their grazing into a pen where there's no food. But they prefer his voice than their food. They're way up there. Now you can see, Michael, maybe that's a few hundred yards. It's got to be 300 or 400 yards away. Now the reason I'm showing this, you can stop it right there. Do you think the sheep that are maybe half a mile away actually heard the shepherd? I personally don't think so. Well then why, they're following the other sheep, but you know what? What were the sheep doing? They were bleating. The sheep were passing on the message to the other sheep. The first sheep that were closest down in the valley, they heard the voice. They start bleeding. The sheep behind them say, follow me. The sheep behind them say, follow me. To the guys up on top. And they all hear the shepherd's voice. And that's the duty of the sheep. We are to convey the shepherd's voice to other people. We are to convey the voice of the good shepherd. Some people are far, far away. And they can't hear the voice. But they could be sheep in the Lord's pasture. Jesus says he has sheep that he has to go get. Lost sheep. Now here's another large flock of sheep. A good 1,000. And the reason I put this out here is because of something it demonstrates. In the Middle East, there were three flocks that were herded together, as they often do. And they're grazing together and they're all mingled together. And the shepherds were sitting in different places. And the first shepherd got up, and in Arabic, he said, Mene'ah, three times, Mene'ah, Mene'ah, follow me, follow me. And his sheep, wherever they were scattered, would leave the fold and go to him. And the second shepherd would say, Mene'ah, Mene'ah, Mene'ah. And then his sheep would leave, and they would follow him. And the third shepherd said three times, Mene'ah, 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 follow me. And the rest of the sheep would follow him. Standing by was a tourist. And the tourist was amazed when we saw that first little clip of the sheep coming to the shepherd. It's a beautiful thing. And he said to the shepherd, let me have your cloak and your staff. The shepherd gave him his cloak and staff. And he went out a ways and he began to call the sheep. Mene'ah, Mene'ah, Mene'ah. And they didn't go. He had on the dress of the shepherd, but the voice was different. So the tourist went to the shepherd and said, is there ever a time when a sheep will follow a stranger? And the shepherd said, yes. If a sheep is sick, it will follow anyone. If a sheep is sick, it will follow anyone. And that's why Christian is so important. You too, Christian. Not every Christian. We're all Christians here. You're a Christian Christian. That's why, oh Christian, we have to stay healthy spiritually. Okay. If we let ourselves get spiritually sick, we're not going to discern the voice of the shepherd as we should. So yes, we've seen it. We've seen sheep called by their shepherd. They come to their shepherd, then they wander off. Okay? They think the grass is greener somewhere else. Okay? Or they have a bad shepherd, okay, that doesn't feed them. And so they go searching. And as they're searching, they get devoured. Okay? That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees, who were bad shepherds. Okay? People who are trying to enter into the kingdom, you keep out. You're keeping them out. Book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. He's talking about the coming of the Messiah. Okay? The coming of the Holy Spirit. The beginning of the kingdom of God. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud day and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Again, reference to the coming of Jesus. You shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, or sheep in the in the fold, you could say. Okay? He has righteousness, or he has healing under his wings. Okay? So bitterness, jealousy, okay? Pride, okay? These are sicknesses of the soul. Okay? Anger, okay? Unrighteous anger, selfishness. Okay? These are sickness of the soul that if we don't bring them to the great physician, Jesus Christ, and find the healing under his wings, we could very easily follow someone who is not the shepherd. And remember back in Ezekiel chapter 34, where God said against the bad pastors, the diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. They don't want to heal the sick sheep. They don't want spiritually well sheep. Why? Because the spiritually well sheep won't follow them. They want to keep them sick. And if you listen to their preaching, they keep them sick. They keep them coveting, keep them jealous. They don't want healthy sheep. And here's something interesting that took place. Some people wanted to find out if the sheep would follow a tape recording of the shepherd's voice. So they recorded the shepherd's voice, and they walked away. They were strangers. Guess what? What do you think happened? The sheep followed them. Yes. The sheep followed the stranger because the stranger recorded the voice of the shepherd. In essence, then, they were not following the shepherd, were they? They were following a stranger. Now, how does that apply to us? The word of God is the voice of the Lord. And you can record it. You can mimic it. You can preach it. Okay. And yet, that shepherd or under-shepherd is really a stranger. He's going to fleece them. And that's why the false shepherds use the word of God. Okay. Because of the voice of God. Okay. It's the voice of the Lord. And they use it. We have to know his voice, but we also have to know something more. And that is him personally. And that's what we read in John 10:14. Jesus, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known. He doesn't say they know my voice. He did say earlier, they know my voice. And later, they know my voice. But knows they know me. They know me. So they can't be fooled by someone who is shouting my words or preaching my words. They won't be fooled because he's just a stranger. Now remember, the stranger, the hireling, is a thief. He runs. Or the thief who comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. So that person who had recorded the shepherd's voice could be leading the sheep to a cattle car where he's going to lead them to the slaughter. And they'll just follow that right into the cattle car because they've been deceived. Okay? Because you want to know the shepherd. His voice, yes, but also you want to know him. I heard a well-known preacher on TV the other day. He was talking about Holy Communion. And he was using Scripture. And some of the things he said were good. Some of the things were really out there in left field. He was saying, when you take... And he wasn't Roman Catholic either. He was evangelical. When you take the elements, the unleavened bread and the wine, you bring healing to your body. And you also bring longevity. You stop the aging process. You stop the aging process. And he said, you will live to 120 years. Emphatically, he said. And then the camera panned to the audience. They're all smiling. Thousands of people. Whoa. What? What? You will stop the aging process. And he quoted Scripture, Psalm 103:5, who satisfies thy mouth, you know, with the elements of the communion, with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. See? You will stop the aging process, he said. You know what the Apostle Paul says? Our outward man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. And so when our youth is renewed like the eagles, he's not talking about our body. Our outward body decays. It perishes. The inner person. And so, even though this preacher was using the word of God, okay, and people were following it, he was really a stranger, really a thief. He's fleecing the flock. We want to know him and his voice. So it's his voice and him must go together. Jeremiah 9:24. We'll conclude here. Again, if you have any questions or comments, let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So this preacher I just told you about, he was exercising loving kindness, but not righteousness. In other words, not what is right. So when we hear the voice of the shepherd, we want to make sure, okay, as one pastor said this, he said, when I think I hear the voice of God, I must be still and make sure it's not my voice. I must be quiet, be still and know that I am God. I must make sure it's his voice and not my voice. Not my own vision, not the creation of my own heart, but really from him. So, sheep can go astray. Sheep can be led astray. Sheep can be deceived and devoured. We must stay close to the shepherd. We must listen to his voice, get to know him very, very intimately, very personally, so that if someone does record his voice, you remember Jim Jones, right? People's Temple. He used to say, when you hear my voice, you hear the voice of God. And people believed it. When you hear my voice, you hear the voice of God. Okay. And we know what happened, right? To those people. We'll continue this. There's a lot more to say about the shepherd and the sheep next Wednesday. Hope you'll join us. Any questions or observations?
You know, I remember when a group of employees working at a bank, getting their job and being trained, all they had to learn was the real deal of the actual money.
Mm-hmm.
And learn it to the, and that's a lot of finite details and everything, but they had to learn it so specifically.
Yes.
And they were trained over and over to learn the real deal. All you had to learn was that, and everything else is counterfeit.
That's right.
Which
exactly.
So much to know him.
That's right.
Everything else is counterfeit.
To know the real shepherd.
To know him. And with the Holy Spirit, even like when I was first saved, I honestly, really, it's like a baby. It's just like an infant. They don't know any better. You've got to watch them going out the street. They don't know if cars
sure.
are going to come. But you know something? The Holy Spirit was faithful to just give me that. I didn't understand why I experienced what it, but I knew something was not right.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see strangers come by and a little child will cling to the mommy or daddy's
mm-hmm.
leg? They just feel so safe.
Mm-hmm.
They just know I'm not sure about that person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Holy Spirit did when I was first saved. Yeah, God is incredible.
Yes. And that's why we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit or quench the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that directs us into all truth. He will give us the spirit of discernment so we'll know who's false and who's not.
And I'm sure we all at one point of our walk have grieved.
Sure.
You know
sure
what?
We have.
I pray that it always makes me cry because
yeah.
I know that I have in my life.
Yeah.
And yeah,
we all have.
I have my life broken. But
yes.
You know what? I thank God for that.
That's right.
I'm so grateful that he
yes.
did.
The bones which he has broken.
My life.
Cause those bones to rejoice. That's right. That's right. Yep.
God.
I think we're all testimony to that. Through brokenness. Through brokenness we find healing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you study the original only and you know what the counterfeits are. So, Scotland Yard was having trouble with counterfeit English pounds. So they asked the Treasury Department, FBI, to come over there. And the Scotland Yard detectives laid out all the counterfeits. And the guys from the FBI said no. Let's study the original.
That's right.
That's all we need.
That's all you
see,
need, the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Deal.
Yeah. So, and so you get to know, really know the
yeah.
voice of God, know his word, and you cannot be led astray. See, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. Okay? They'll follow me. Not, don't go astray. Don't follow a stranger. Just because it sounds good, sounds like the voice of God, make sure it is the voice of God. Could be your own voice too. Right? Any questions? Children, you like those sheep? Yeah. We're gonna learn some more about sheep and the shepherd next Wednesday. I hope you can join us. All right, let's close in prayer and have a time of fellowship. Lord, we thank you for making a sheep. Not wild mountain sheep, Lord. We were that once. And yes, Lord, we could escape the wolf, but we could not escape your wrath. And now, Lord, we cannot escape the wolf unless we abide in your love and abide in your fold and abide close to you. Lord, you have made us weak so that we look to the shepherd. And you will lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. You will protect us. You will defend us. You will feed us. You will care for us. All that we need, Lord. David said, I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. Lord, but help us to be faithful sheep. You are the faithful shepherd. Help us to be faithful sheep. We pray this in Jesus' name. Your name, our good shepherd. Amen. Amen. God bless you.